Welcome to Fresh Take, your favorite weekly podcast that delivers a healthy dose of information pertaining to healthy lifestyles, organic and sustainable agriculture, and numerous topics related to the environment. Thanks for tuning in. Our industry experts are here to provide you with a fresh take on topics that can help you optimize your lifestyle and well-being. Welcome, guest. On today's episode, we'll be discussing genetically modified organisms and the controversy surrounding them. I have a wonderful panel with me today. I have Craig Frost, the CEO of Breathe Organics. I have Ray Chang, who is the board president of Florida Organic Growers and Consumers. And I have Ram Krishnan, who is also with the company. He is the CEO of Quality Certification Services.
Thank you, Jessica.
We're so pleased to have you. As an industry expert on genetically modified organisms, can you give us a rundown on, number one, what are they, and why is there so much controversy surrounding them?
I can probably talk about why some of these issues are really a concern to many consumers. Let me try to simplify things so people can understand. When a person gets bitten by a snake or a spider, it causes reactions. So it actually, when they bite, the venom is injected into their bloodstream. So what is a venom? Venom is basically, in simplified terms, is basically something, a protein particle, a foreign protein particle from a snake getting into your systems.
Right.
And people get killed because two things happens at that point. One, it triggers a reaction. The toxins or the protein particles from the venom, in the venom, is causing problem. The second one is reaction produced to those protein particles by your body, causing sometimes death if it is not treated at the right time. GMOs, in many ways, is very similar.
Okay.
You have a foreign protein, foreign DNA, foreign RNA that has been inserted to a vector, and then now it is being, in you're consuming those products. Your body is bound to make some reaction to those external particles. Sometimes it could be dramatic. In some cases, it could be dramatic. But sometimes it takes a long period of time to express those reaction, your body's reaction to those foreign particles. To really have an effect. The challenge, though, is the absence of independent study.
Okay.
There is, because biotech companies control the source materials, not anybody, any independent researchers cannot do the research. In fact, it is prohibited. So any published materials that's out there is either funded by these biotech companies or the research has been done by themselves, making it very difficult for an average consumer to know whether this product is safe or not. So in the absence of a really peer-reviewed independent research, you have to rely on logic and you have to rely on common sense.
Absolutely.
So if you go with that logic, it is very easy to explain. And if you go with the logic and common sense, we can understand and say, hey, very similar to the protein of snake bite I explained, it is bound to cause a reaction. So GMOs is meant to cause some reaction in our body. That's the first part. Then the second part I can also use is that there was another example that we can talk about is antibiotic resistance. I don't know whether you remember, Jessica, when I used to be young, the doctors prescribed antibiotics. And the antibiotics are used to be 250 milligrams for 3 days. Now, recently, I was prescribed an antibiotic for a specific condition. It was 1,000 milligrams for 10 days.
Yes.
What happened? The thing that happened there is the evolution of superbugs, which is the time that an antibiotic resistance bacteria.
Right.
So why I'm mentioning here is because now there is a recent potato variety that has been approved to be GMO potato variety that has been approved.
Okay.
That potato variety is resistant to antibiotics. So when you start consuming this potato, given this common sense, given this logic, that is going to develop, eventually going to come up with something that is going to be resistant to antibiotic in our systems.
Right.
Plus, you know, tying the two, on one hand, you have an antibiotic resistance particles that's been in your system and your body is going to react over time. Plus, you're also going to develop your body is going to come up with more antibiotic. In other words, you will end up needing more antibiotic dosage eventually down the road.
Because you're going to develop a resistance.
Right. so to those antibiotics levels.
Right.
So like I said, from 250 milligrams I consumed Yang to now to 1,000 milligrams, that's a wave. And the number of days antibiotic is given has grown. So that's the first concern, that that impact that GMOs can have on humans.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And I think that the example that you gave with the snake is a very simplistic way to understand how it can affect us.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think the key point in my opinion is that it takes a long time to have any evidence. Unlike a snake, it's immediate. GMO, that's why I think it's a little bit harder to sort of have that conversation in a very scientific way, is because, you know, it doesn't express itself in an immediate way. So you can't really assign cause. Maybe you got sick because of multiple reasons and you can't really pinpoint the reason.
That is correct. The other part is the absence of independent study. First part is the time it takes to express itself. Mm-hmm. It is meant to cause, anytime you put a foreign body into your systems, your system would react. Whether it is, you know, just a simple injury in your hand, the platelets has to be produced to be able to, the WBC, white blood cell, has to be produced. There's always a reaction to something that's happened in your body. So when you put a foreign particle, it takes a long time, number one, to understand the impact. But that is also an absence of independent study to say, this is what exactly it's happening.
Right.
And I think based on this logic, it's more like, you know, the reaction might not be the direct impact on that foreign objects, I mean, or the particles or the things that we eat. It might be kind of a trigger channeling effect. So it's kind of like allergic reactions, right?
Exactly.
That's true.
So, yeah. And then it might trigger something else instead of that, but then you'll never be able to trace it back. It may be more of the scientific study and things like that. So my personal experience is I feel like nowadays the kids are getting more allergic reactions. They're allergic to eggs, they're allergic to milk, they're allergic to a lot of different food nowadays. And you know, obviously it's hard to tell if it's GMO or if it's something else.
That's the point. It's hard to identify that as the cause. So are we getting more to the point where we are identifying it more easily and that we didn't know all these people are allergic to it? Or are we developing allergies? Or, you know, this is a conversation which is a bit more difficult to answer, I believe.
Yeah, well, the absence of independent studies making it more harder for us to evaluate the impact of GMO. But if you just strictly use the common sense logic, we can come to a conclusion, which is what we have to do in the absence of independent peer-reviewed studies, use common sense and logic. And if you use that, we will come to a conclusion, the impact GMO might have on our health and on human beings. I would like to talk a little bit more on, in the not just human beings, but other impacts GMO has on animals.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Other impacts the GMO has on the socio-economic impact it has, other impact it has on environmental concerns, and then the moral and ethical concerns. So if you look in the totality, mm-hmm. I believe GMO is meant to cause some issues overall to the humans, the environment that we live with, and the animals that lives in the earth.
Wow.
I agree with you. Can you touch on each of those a little bit individually so our listeners can understand that? While we've touched a little bit on the effects that it can have on humans, but can you go a little bit into further into depth on how it affects animals and just our environment?
Sure. Well, I'll go with animals first.
Thank you.
Most people may be familiar, last couple of years, there's been a serious beehive disorder. Numerous bees, millions and billions of bees died.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there may be several reasons. One of the reasons is use of certain pesticides. What does that mean? It's the increase in use of pesticides. So why it's related to GMO? The increase in the use of pesticides because we now have varieties. We now have crops, like example, crops like corn and cotton, where those crops are resistant to genetically modified to be resistant to certain pests.
Right.
So what they end up being is you suppress one pest, but it creating an ecological imbalance, so number one. At the same time, you're also increasing the amount of pesticides that has been applied because of using a variety that is genetically modified in a particular plot or in a particular crop. So that has been an increase because of pesticide use because of GMO crops is up to 318 million pounds of pesticides increased.
Incredible.
So when you increase that much amount of the pesticide, it has to have a serious impact on beneficial insects such as bees, such as monarch butterflies, such as the dragonflies.
Right.
So it impacts indirectly because of increased pesticide use. Using GMO crop increases the pesticide use, and then that results in creating an ecological imbalance, causing some things like the beehive disorder or collapse of beehives. And as you know, without bees, we can't live because pollination is very critical, depends on bees. So that's the...
It's essential.
It's essential. So that's the second concerns that we have with animals, impacting GMOs, affecting animals. Now, environmental concerns, there's a couple of things we can talk about. Number one, all those extra pesticides that has been applied, the increased pesticide and the increased herbicide that has been applied, that is going to end up in our water systems. That is going to end up in
It will run off.
It will affect the amphibians. That's the number one susceptible species for this increased amount of herbicides and pesticides that's been used. So that's going to impact our whole ecological impact. And I used to say in Florida, Ichitechni Springs that I used to go and swim when I was young, it was clean and pristine, and you can see through the springs itself. Now it's heavily polluted.
Right.
And the pollution comes from numerous factors, not only application of fertilizers, but also this excessive pesticides and herbicides that's been applied end up in our deep aquifer systems.
It's a very sad sight to see when something so beautiful is affected so dramatically.
Yeah, so that's the environmental concerns. The next one is moral and ethical concerns. You know, nature used to be doing selective process selection. Mm-hmm. And then at some point in the time, human beings were sophisticated and started doing breeding of crops. That was fine. But what happens in ethical concern is now we are becoming guard in taking a genetic material from something else and putting into something else and creating a new crop. So that's going to have us, when we become guard of ourselves.
Do you think that the differences between what we used to do to, for example, create wheat or whatever, to what we're doing now is that we're mixing species? You think that's where the line gets crossed?
No, mixing species is a different thing. But even for improving the existing varieties, you know, you are now manipulating the genetic code and introducing things that is never supposed to be in nature in the first place. And nature has its own selection process. So that is a moral and ethical question. Is GMO is the right thing to do? So it's an ethical question then more than anything else. And sometimes what also happens is there is a genuine concern, would this species end up being a super weed, a weed that is very difficult to eradicate? You know, these crops end up, they express themselves and end up being a variety that is very difficult to get rid of and become a weed. For example, there was a genetically modified eucalyptus that was introduced for soil erosion. It ended up being a weed in the U.S. That has been cases like that has happened before. And socioeconomic concerns also is impacting on GMO. To give an example, if you cannot store GMO seeds, the company that produces the GMO is ultimately responsible for the patentship, and they own the rights to hold that seed. So you have to buy from every year. As a farmer, if you look prehistorically, farmers try to save seeds.
Absolutely.
In some cases, and you can't save seeds anymore, and you have to rely on them. Whoever controls the seed controls the power.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's also another aspect. It's driven by profit or business structure rather than helping as they claim. And that's something that's always gotten me, is that they always try to use the example of the golden rice, I think.
Yes.
Or most recently the orange in Florida was affected by a Chinese bug. Or pesticides or some form where it affected. And, you know, they were trying to rectify that by genetically modifying it with spinach, if I remember correctly. To me, it becomes, if you're driven by profit when you're messing with nature, it's a bad problem.
I think so, I agree.
Yeah.
It's always the case. You know, Mother Nature always tells us who is superior.
Right.
And human beings always try to, you know, control nature. But eventually, at this point of the time, Mother Nature wins.
And do you think it might be a problem that we can't reverse it back to how it was?
It's totally possible. It's possible, but it takes a good amount of education. It takes a good amount of research. It takes cooperations an agreement between all the stakeholders involved in the process. So it's a long process.
Yeah,
I think we need to have more information like these kind of being broadcast to the general consumers, and so they understand the real impact, you know, because a lot of these are not direct impact. The things that that cause, I mean, I guess GMO is causing the imbalance of the variety of species and things like that. That's something that people don't necessarily feel it till it's too late, you know. And so I think by talking about it, we'll bring more awareness of the consumers, and that's kind of the, you know, what we're trying to do here.
I'll give another example from another industry, tobacco. It took 30 years for people, at least 30, 40 years, to understand tobacco is injurious to health.
Right.
So GMOs may fall under that category.
Yes, and when money's involved, generally gets delayed certain subjects, whether it's healthy or bad for us.
Well, I think to summarize, I believe, this is my personal opinion, given my expertise in this area, that GMOs is not good. It has human implications, it has implication on animals, it has an implication on environmental issues, it has implication on socioeconomic issues, and above all, more and more important, it has moral and ethical questioning.
Absolutely.
You have more than one issue, so how can that be better?
Right, exactly.
No, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Some things we need to just leave alone the way nature intended them.
Yep.
Yes, and how you can do your part at home is help share this podcast. The more people that know, the better we can educate. Perhaps we can change it a little bit by little, but I think at least sharing this podcast can help at least bring understanding on the subject to your friends.
Absolutely. And for any of you listeners that have any questions, you can definitely feel free to reach out to us. Feel free to send us an email. We'll be glad to answer any of your questions.
All right. Thanks, Al.
Yeah. All right. So to all of my guests today, I thank you so much for joining. Ram Krishnan, we really appreciate all the input you've given us and all the information on this topic. And I hope that you guys tune in for our next episode where we get a little deeper into this and start discussing the labeling of GMO. Thank you guys for listening to today's episode. I hope you guys enjoyed the conversation as much as we did. As many of you already know, FOG is a 501c3 not-for-profit organization, which means we need your help to keep all of our content free to the public. Please consider making a tax-deductible donation today. We would really appreciate your support.